Then they came to Capernaum, and on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. The people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In their synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Quiet, come out of him." The unclean spirit convulsed him with a loud cry, came out of him. All were amazed and asked one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." His fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Through the words of the Gospel, may our sins be forgiven. My dear brothers and sisters, I invite you to the meditation of the Word of God for this Sunday, the fourth Sunday in Ordinary Time, Cycle B. I would especially invite you to focus on the gospel that has just been proclaimed to us. We heard Jesus go into the synagogue in Capernaum on the Sabbath day and begin to teach. His way of teaching was so astonishing to the audience because he taught like one who had personal authority, unlike other experts of the law, the scribes. In order to understand clearly this gospel message, we needed to place it in the cultural and historical context in which it was first delivered. Jesus teaches in the synagogue. In the time of Jesus, if someone had a message from God to give, the natural place to which he would turn would be the church, where God's people met together. That is precisely what Jesus did. There are certain differences between the synagogue and the church, or the temple, as we know it today. The synagogue was primarily a teaching institution. The synagogue service consisted only of three things: prayer, the reading of the Word of God, and the exposition of it. There was no music, no singing like we have today, and no sacrifice. While the temple was a place of sacrifice and worship, the synagogue was a place of teaching and instruction. And the synagogue had certain officials, and one of these was the ruler of the synagogue, who was responsible for the administration of the affairs of the synagogue and the arrangements for its services. However, the synagogue was lacking one essential element. There was no permanent preacher or teacher. When the people met at the synagogue service, it was open to the ruler of the synagogue to call on any competent person to give the address and exposition. That's why Jesus was able to launch his teaching ministry in the synagogue, as we heard in the gospel. When Jesus did teach in the synagogue, the whole method and atmosphere of his teaching was like a new revelation, a new way of doing things. He did not teach like the scribes and teachers of the law. The latter, meaning the scribes and teachers of the law, were a class of scholars, and the greatest of them was a rabbi. Their task was to extract rules and regulations for every possible situation. It was their duty to give judgment in individual cases, to transmit, teach, and interpret the Torah. And what was the Torah? It was the Ten Commandments of God, but also the first five books of the Bible, which are referred to as the Pentateuch. The Torah was a very sacred teaching or writing. No word was to be taken away from it, and the scribes regarded it as their primary duty to safeguard its sacredness. It was the Torah that guided their teaching. Every important statement they uttered was to be backed up with the authority of the Torah, like saying, according to the Torah, this should be like this and like this. Or the Torah says, so they had to appeal to the authority of the Torah and not to speak with their own authority. The teaching of Jesus differed so much from the teaching of the scribes. Jesus taught with personal authority. He did not make reference or quotation from the Torah. And when he spoke as if he needed no authority beyond him. He spoke with utter independence. He cited no authorities and quoted no experts. He spoke with the finality of the voice of God. And in fact, Jesus had the right to do so because he himself is the Word of God. He was the Torah itself. It was as if he was clarifying the Ten Commandments, which he himself gave them through Moses. He wanted them to know that he was the source of the Torah, which they held with great esteem. This was the essence of his teaching authority. And with the same authority, Jesus cured the man in the same synagogue who was in the grip of an unclean spirit. The spirit broke into a shout. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? But Jesus spoke sternly, be silent and come out of him. Then those around were thrown into astonishment and remarked, this is a new kind of teaching. He gives his orders with authority, even to unclean spirits, and they obey him. My dear brothers and sisters, in the Bible, demon or unclean spirit are synonymous terms which mean invisible or supernatural beings that wreak havoc in human life and are sometimes able to control an individual of whom they take possession. They are designated as unclean using an Old Testament term for a person or thing that is ritually defiled and therefore prohibited from taking part in the worship. Because Jesus came to destroy the works of Satan, casting out demons and undoing their effects was a central aspect of his public ministry. These unclean spirits continue to afflict our society. Even today, there are unclean spirits of idolatry, unclean spirits of forgetfulness of God, unclean spirits of indifference to religion, to the faith, to the life of prayer, unclean spirits of anger, hatred, and jealousy, unclean spirits of slandering and gossip, of giving our minds to lusty thoughts, fantasies, or images, unclean spirits of being critical, negative, and judgmental in our conversations and thoughts, unclean spirits of making God out of work, school, or possessions, name it. These are unclean spirits which face our society today and which we face in our day-to-day life. We need to believe that Jesus has the authority to dispel these evil spirits from us. And in fact, he does so in all ages. He speaks with authority through the sacraments, especially the absolution in the sacrament of reconciliation, and frees us from these evil spirits, unclean spirits. All we need is not just to believe in Jesus' authority to drive out these unclean spirits from us, but to make the most of his authority through the sacraments of healing, baptism, holy anointing, but especially the sacrament of confession. Lord Jesus, take possession of my thoughts, words, and actions so that the unclean spirits may get no foothold through hate, pride, greed, sloth, envy, or any evil inclination on my part. Amen.